It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, God has awakened us on a new day. And that means that his mercies are new, for the Bible tells us they are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Good morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together for worship. And now we pray that your spirit will teach us the things we need to know as you anoint the words of our pastor and fill him with your spirit. Help us always to grow in grace and wisdom as we draw close to you. This is asked and prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ. Our opening song at this time.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about
brothers and sisters. Our title today is God's Throne is a Mercy Seat. God's throne is a mercy seat. All right, we're going to begin with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you very much for bringing us together. We are so blessed beyond belief. We're so just taken aback, as it were, as we contemplate your greatness, your mercy, especially in light of our sinfulness. We pray, Lord, that you bless us. Help us to rise to the highest height that you have planned for us because we are in tune with your justice and mercy. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters, there is a book called Desire of Ages. It's a beautiful book, and it's about the life of Christ. And it talks about in that book how that when Jesus came on the scene in humanity, it says the earth was dark through the misapprehension of God. I'm here to tell you that it is Satan's plan to cause you to misunderstand who God really is. The world is all messed up because they don't understand who God really is. The world would do much better to understand his character if they understood the sanctuary. So a lot of people wonder, why do we talk all about mentioning the Catholic Church so much? I mean, you know, why do we do that? And I'm going to read some things to you, brothers and sisters, because there are some things most people don't know, and I want you to know. In the book of Thessalonians, let's see, is it 1 Thessalonians chapter 2? No, it's 2 Thessalonians. Yes. So in 2 Thessalonians, it says, "Now we beseech you, brethren," first one, "by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." So Paul establishes the fact that Jesus is coming again, and this is the subject matter of this chapter. "Be ye not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." It says, "Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day," what day? The second coming of Christ, "shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Friends, we talk a lot about how the Roman Catholic Church changed the Sabbath, but what you don't understand is that they destroyed the sanctuary message. See, the sanctuary message does not point to an evil man who calls himself a pope, okay? And what do I say evil? Because you would never, it's evil to put yourself in place of God. A lot of people, when you think of the word antichrist, you think he's against Christ, and he is, but antichrist really means in place of Christ. That's evil, friends. So that's not a statement of, you know, just talking about somebody behind their back. It is, that is an evil. It's like if you were robbing a bank, I would say that is an evil and you need to repent. If you put yourself in place of God. And so people lost sight because of the Roman Catholic Church's move to suppress these truths. They lost sight of the sanctuary. The sanctuary, my brothers and sisters, teaches us that God's throne is a mercy seat. What is it? It is a mercy seat. You see, when people followed God, Satan tries to kill you. He tries to persecute those who follow God. Persecution is still going on today, brothers and sisters. And even if it's not, okay, when I think of persecution, I think of it from a religious point of view, okay? Tribulation is the same thing. It's just that it comes from a secular source. So, brothers and sisters, I am personally, I have personal friends who are in the medical profession, medical doctors, that just because they believed that there wasn't enough evidence to support this massive push to silence every probe and inoculate the globe. They lost their job. That's what persecution does. It causes you to cancel culture. It's part of persecution. So don't think that you will see cancel culture in the Republican Party. You'll see cancel culture in the Democratic Party. If you don't go along with the LGBT movement, there are places I have personal friends who have lost their jobs simply because they did not want to compromise their conviction that the Constitution was not intended to protect fornication. Okay, it just wasn't. And all that sin is a different type of fornication, friend. And you know how you can prove something? See if it's consistent. Just put something else of a similar nature in its place and see if it's consistency. I've made up a word. Now, somebody may have also made up this word. I just don't know that anybody made up this word. So I'm going to tell you I made up this word. I call it duomo sexuality. That means or polygamo sexuality. What if I was I don't even want to put myself in there. What if a man wanted to have several men as his wives? Well, the government would say, no, you can only have one wife, but I love all of them. That violates my civil right. I love all of them. I love all these men. You see, well, they would say no. So they do legislate and adjudicate in the area of who you can love and who you can sleep with. Not so much who you can love, but you can't force the government to recognize your fornication, okay? But they have succeeded when it's just one to do that. You see what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? They won't let more than one, but the government won't let more than one, but the government has bowed down to the mob pressure. And that just shows you where we're going in this country. And brothers and sisters, don't think for one minute that's just a Democratic problem. If you don't like what President Trump has done and what it cost on January 6th, you will be canceled. And I am telling you, he was wrong. Not too many Republicans would say that. That's because they don't want to be canceled. See, brothers and sisters, let me tell you what God does. God does not operate on force. Cancel culture is force. God operates on love and truth, you see. And so when you don't do what's popular, oh, brothers and sisters, there's lots of cancel culture in the church. Yes, it is. You just want to come and do the right thing. You want to improve things. You want to bless people with whatever you can bless them with, a little bit of talent that God has given you, and you want to serve. You got jealousy, you got envy, you got cancel culture, brothers and sisters, right in the church. But I'm here to tell you, there is going to be a people who will make it in, brothers and sisters, and they will not have the cancel culture. They will not. They will love God. They will love the people. They will understand the sanctuary. And what is our topic today? Jesus Christ. No, it's not really. It's all about Jesus Christ. But God's throne is a mercy seat. You see, brothers and sisters, when you understand the character of God, you can't help but love him. And when you truly understand the character of God, you will keep his commandments. When people are not keeping God's commandments and when they are not representing him aright, they have a lack of understanding of the true character of God. When we won't take a stand for the truth, when we put organizations above truth, we don't understand the character of God. Brothers and sisters, if Jesus wanted to put an organization above truth, he would have stayed in heaven. Now, heaven's organization is pure, but he could have said, I'm not even going to even touch that ugly earth that has sin in it because that might defile this beautiful, perfect organization. Now, Jesus said, I'm going to go down and save this. And the true heavenly organization was in harmony with such a great sacrifice. They were in awe of such a great sacrifice. The angels marveled at such a great sacrifice, but they, like I said, you're in, we're in. You see, they love us, brothers and sisters. They love us more than we love ourselves. Heaven is all about saving people, blessing people, helping people. Why do we talk about people, brothers and sisters? Why do we have so much gossip in the church? Why do we have so much pride? Why are we so easily falling into temptation, it's because we take our eyes off the mercy seat. You know, when we look at all that we've done, I'm 55 years old, brothers and sisters, and I've done, you can't live to be 55 and not sin, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you know, there's this God who sits on a mercy seat. So I broke the law that's below him sitting in the ark. But between the broken law and the holy God is a mercy seat. Friends, if that does not cause you, and that's why the Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. How we treat others will eventually determine whether we have mercy applied to us. Did you know that, friends? If you treat people coldly, and you know, not that you, you know, I don't think most of us are going to shoot anybody and stab anybody, but we won't return their call. We won't welcome them in. We won't accept them based on the merits of giving them the benefit of the doubt. You know, we judge people. That's just, it's sad, but we don't really, and we're so holy now. We're holy. We dress right. We eat right. We're living right. And we don't even know how to truly reach a soul, friends. Because the people out in the world, they are not going to be impressed because you have a long dress. They're not going to be impressed because you wear a beard. They're not going to be impressed because you don't wear a tie. Or if you wear a tie, that's not going to impress them, brothers and sisters. What impresses them is love. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples indeed, because ye have love one toward another. It's just that the fake love does not obey God's commandments. You see, it's a presumptuous love. It claims the promises and the benefits of the gospel, but it doesn't want to meet the requirements of the gospel. The God that we serve is very merciful. He is 100% just, and he's full of justice. He's righteous. He doesn't compromise truth, but he saves those who have sinned. And if you have sinned, if you're living in sin right now, if you can go to the God who sits on top of a mercy seat, and you can ask him for his forgiveness, and you can ask him to get you out of the mess you're in, the mess you created. We create our mess. He didn't put us in it. We create it, brothers and sisters, because we weren't walking with him. We weren't talking with him. We can ask God to save us from this sinful course that we are in, brothers and sisters. And I'm here to tell you that God is merciful. God is merciful. So I want to share a little bit of that with you. We're going to go to the book of Psalms chapter 89. Let's go to the book of Psalms. Let me go over here. Psalms chapter 89. And I want to look at verse 14. Psalm 89 and verse 14. Okay, there we go. Close enough. There, we have a little hard time finding it today. There we have it. It should be Psalm 89:14. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. So is there justice? Is there right doing? Is truth? Yes. It's the habitation of God's throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. So brothers and sisters, we're before God's face. He's looking at us. Between us and the justice of his throne is mercy and truth. See, a lot of people want mercy with lies. You want mercy with lies. You say, Lord, you're a God of mercy. It doesn't matter what time, what I do. It doesn't matter who I sleep with. It doesn't matter what day I go to church. It doesn't matter. None of those things matter. As long as I love Jesus. No, mercy and truth go before his face. But he's going to have mercy. And that's why God has not destroyed any of us, because he's so merciful. The Bible tells us, remember we read Hebrews 13, it says, our God is a consuming fire. But what happens is, because he's so full of mercy, that He's only going to consume sin. But when we attach ourselves to it and don't respond to his calls of mercy to say, separate from sin, I'm going to destroy sin. I can't wait much longer. Brothers and sisters, this world would destroy itself if God didn't step in. We are messed up. Just look at the political climate just in the United States. This country is disastrous. It's only because there is some semblance of law and order left that you don't have full-scale civil war, but it's coming. Full-scale civil war, I believe, is coming because I believe the devil is setting things up. I believe that a particular man wants to stay or get back in power, wanted to stay in power, and you saw what he could do just by his words, his phraseology. You saw on January 6th. And then look on the other side, brothers and sisters. Black Lives Matter was not about black people. It was a ploy to promote homosexuality. It was set up by lesbians who are Marxists. Marxists overthrow the government with mob rule. That's what Marxism is all about, friends. And so they're trying to get the numbers, and they got the numbers, and they got this movement going. It's not about, and please understand, we all reap what we sow. There is police brutality. There is racial profiling and those types of things. And unfortunately, those who did those sins, those police officers who did those sins, now the police departments are reaping, have reaped some of the, what they sowed, okay? And when you do criminal acts, you end up reaping what you sow. You might end up in jail, okay? So we reap what we sow. The Bible says so. So God allows nature to take its course because we reap what we sow. But at the same time, Black Lives Matter, brothers and sisters, was all about an agenda that allows them to say that I have a civil right to sleep with whoever I'm going to sleep with, and you must recognize my sin. You must. And so if they get more numbers, they got enough numbers to influence an entire political party, the Democratic Party. And the Democratic Party, one of their policies is that you can love anybody you want to love, sleep with anybody you want to sleep with, and all that. And they try to put the word love on that. That's not love, brothers and sisters. That's lust. And I don't care if it's heterosexual. And what I told you, all you have to do to see if it fits, just replace. If you've got a principle that's a true principle, you should be able to put, like, in other words, if the principle is right, you should be able to substitute somebody else of like mind, of like circumstances in that piece, and take somebody else out and see if it's consistent. You see, I remember when I was growing up, we went to a church that was predominantly white at the time. But then a lot of colored people of color, I should say, were coming in. And the pastor, they had a big evangelistic meeting. And some of the black churches didn't want to participate because I guess they felt that the souls that would be won would be not channeled to their churches, but channeled to other churches. And so the pastor got up and he was just downgrading those churches, and I'm not saying they were right. I'm just telling you what happened. He was downgrading them and just talking about how proud he was to be the pastor of a multicultural church, and how that there's red, yellow, black, and white in our church, and it's not just all black. And I just raised my hand. I'm a member of that church. I raised my hand, and I said, is this church ready for a black pastor? Oh, he turned red because he knew they weren't. He knew they weren't. And so, we get on our high horse, brothers and sisters, sometimes. All I was trying to do was show him we got to be consistent. We claim that they're prejudiced, and we have prejudice here in this church, because though this church isn't ready for a black pastor, and we're trying to act like we're all multicultural, no, you got to be consistent, you see? And that's what Jesus is. Brothers and sisters, when you live consistently, you're at peace. When you know you've treated everybody fairly, and you've treated people the way Jesus would have you treat them, you go to sleep in peace. It's those people that have favorites and that are politicking in the church or politicking in the world. They don't have peace. They don't have peace, brothers and sisters. And I'm here to tell you that God wants us to have peace. You know, I associate with people. Anybody that's fighting against medical tyranny, I am supportive of, because that's what's happening in the world today, in society today. If you tell the truth about what happened in this plague, you're going to lose your job or you're going to be marginalized. And so we need to support those people, because many are faithful and they're standing up for the truth, and they're losing their job. It's not in the media now. The media won't touch it. That's why I have no respect for the popular media. When I say I don't have any respect for it, I don't hate them. I'm just saying they're not telling truth, okay, because they're controlled. That's just the bottom line. And but I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that when we are faithful to God, God is even using that to bring some of those people. Some of those doctors were proud doctors, proud and arrogant, but they do have some morals, you know. And so when they said, we can't accept that, you know, I went to a meeting, and in the meeting, some of the doctors were on a panel, and I actually spoke a little bit on the panel myself. I'm not a doctor, but they had me come up and do a little something. And it was an open forum, so people could come to a microphone and ask the doctors questions. And when they were talking about different vaccines, some of those doctors were like, well, we're not against this vaccine. We're not against that vaccine, blah, blah, blah. And then some of those people got mad. I mean, these were mothers and fathers who had vaccine-injured children. You see, brothers and sisters, what's not being told is that there have been some whistleblowers that you never knew about. There were whistleblowers at the CDC that actually said, that testified, that when they saw the connection between the MMR vaccine and autism, that they were told to shred that document or to shred that data. And they were let go. You see, therefore, a lot of this rise in autism and these kinds of things have been the result of things that have happened that we take into our body. But the people who want to tell the truth are canceled out. They're hush, hush. And so there was this friction in the room because these doctors had this rude awakening. They've been promoting some stuff that they didn't need to promote for a long time. They just didn't want to promote the COVID one. Okay, and so now there's some of them are waking up, and I've had some of them tell me, I'm not going to promote any of them anymore. But see, they had to come to that, because that's not how they were trained in medical school. And so, my brothers and sisters, I'm just saying that this whole challenge that we have of our society living righteousness and truth, we're messed up. So let's get back to God's character. God's character will not ignore the truth, but with that truth is mixed with mercy. The broken law that you and I broke when we sin, for sin is the transgression of the law, there is a mercy seat that separates the law from the consuming fire of God, symbolizing that God is very merciful. I'm going to wrap this up with two passages. The first passage is in Exodus chapter 33. And I want you to get your fingers out. I count on my fingers. I want you to count on your fingers, okay? Exodus 33. Let's look at verse 18. It says, this is Moses. He had been walking with God, talking to him face to face. The Bible says Moses was different than the rest of the prophets because he talked to God mouth to mouth. The rest of the prophets would often get dreams and visions, you see. And so it says, and you can only imagine, it's like I like to put a name with a face. If I'm talking to somebody and, you know, in this virtual time, there are people that we are, many of you, we are close to. We talk to a lot almost every day. And some of you, you could come to my house and stay at my house. I could come to your house and stay at your house. And my wife and I could come to your house and stay at your house. I know we could. And you know you could. The bottom line is, guess what? We've never met face to face. So in this time period, imagine we just kind of at some point want to just on this side of where it'd be nice to meet face to face. People in Oklahoma and Alabama and Michigan and all in the Carolinas, all around this country, and even overseas, we've talked with you, ministered with you, and some of y'all have ministered to us, and we've ministered to you, you've ministered to us. We don't even know. We've never met face to face. So imagine Moses. He said, Lord, I just want to see you. Can I at least see you? I mean, we're so close. Can I see you? So he says, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. I just want to see you. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and show mercy on whom I will show mercy. So when Moses said, I want to see you, God says, okay, I'm going to pass before you. But when I pass before you, I'm going to proclaim my name. Notice what it says. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord. So when I pass before you, I'm going to proclaim my name. So when he actually passed by before him, this was what happened. Get your fingers out. If we go to verse 6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, that's one, gracious, that's two, long-suffering, that's three, abundant in goodness, that's four, and truth, that's five, keeping mercy for thousands, that's six, forgiving iniquity, that's seven, and transgression, that's eight, and sin, that's nine. And that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. That's 10. If you look at all of those 10 attributes of God's character, 9 of the 10 were merciful traits. God is 9/10 mercy. He pours mercy all upon us, and it's only when we finally reject the mercy, the only thing left is justice. Try to do that in the courts today. Try to live your life that way, friend. Be merciful to people. Guess what? Even if people do you wrong because you're merciful to them, it comes back to haunt them and you will be at peace. But what happens is we are so hard on everybody. We're so full of justice. We want to hold up the standard of the Lord. And so we're rough and we get ourselves way in above our heads because we think we know people's circumstances, and we don't. And we don't judge righteous judgment. And so people have been separated, and friends have been separated, and people think they're righteous. And here's how you can know. If you judge somebody to be wrong and then you see them prosper, if you get mad, the problem is with you. You probably judge them wrong. I'm going to say it again. If you judge somebody and you see them prosper and you get mad because you see them prosper, something's wrong with you, and you're not going to heaven unless you repent. Because God says, I'm not talking about like prosper, like, okay, people out in the world, Beyonce sold her soul to the devil and shit. I'm talking about people who live the truth, or at least claim to live the truth, are still preaching the truth, still living the truth, still doing what they always did, and you're mad at their prosperity. Something's wrong with your walk with God. And if you don't get it right, you're going to be lost, my friend. And I'm here to tell you, I won't let you be lost on my watch. Sometimes we're so proud of our own opinions because we're so full of justice and we have no mercy, brothers and sisters. If you're merciful, you don't even have to know who's right or who's wrong. You just love people. You just pray. If it's beyond you, if it's not part of something that you have to make a judgment call on, you leave it with the Lord and you let the Lord show you who is right. I will tell you that God has promised that he will not bless those who claim to follow present truth, and they are living in sin and doing that which is wrong. He will not bless them, brothers and sisters, but he will often bless falsely accused people. You know, so we need to pray for people who are falsely accused. I have some friends in jail right now, friends. I want you to pray. I'm not going to mention their names, but I want you to pray for my friends because their trial is coming up, and it does not look like they're going to get a good defense. But, you know, who is their true lawyer? It's Jesus Christ. So we're going to fast and pray that the Lord prevail in their case because they are innocent of the charges. They've been sitting in jail for months. That's not what God did for me. Been to jail before, falsely accused of some stuff. But guess what? I only had to spend probably 12, 13 hours in jail. Guess what? If you're faithful, you're probably going to jail. If you're faithful, or at least they're going to try to arrest you. The Bible says so, because everybody who will not receive the mark, brothers and sisters, is going to be, that's going to be against the law. It's going to be against the law eventually to keep the Sabbath and not worship on Sunday. That's going to be against the law. Where are you going to be when that happens? That's what the Bible teaches. It says the whole world will face the mark of the beast trial. And the beast mark, the beast is the Roman Catholic Church. Every Protestant used to believe that. But the Bible says all the world would wander after the beast. So they stopped believing that after a while. And so we're going to go ahead and close. We want to hear from Sister Donna. She's got some great information from up for us. And so we're going to definitely leave some time for her. Brothers and sisters, the God you serve sits and judges you on a mercy seat. Let's be merciful so we can have that mercy. Let's stop being judgmental. Let's stop talking about people gossiping, being proud, and all of those horrible attributes. If Jesus acted toward us the way we act toward others sometimes, we would not be here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Bless us as we take our break and then come back to hear from Sister Donna on our lowering our blood pressure. We pray that you bless us to this end in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take an 8-minute break. Then we'll have time to hear from Sister Donna and look forward to what she has to share. Our torso song is next.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home. show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to North of, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how. You can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Come and see.
Amen. We'll now hear from Sister Donna Reed. She's going to be sharing with us from Lower Your Blood Pressure.
Good morning, brothers and sisters, and good morning, Pastor and Maria. My topic today is lower your blood pressure. Many today want to know how to lower their blood pressure. More than 50% of adult Americans and 80% of those over 50 years of age have higher than optimal blood pressure. Ideal blood pressure is less than 120/80. Dr. Appleby at the University of Oxford in England analyzed data from the study European Perspective Investigation into Cancer and Nutrition and discovered that vegans, those eating only plants, have the lowest blood pressure of any group studied. Only 5.8% of male vegans had high blood pressure, compared with 15% of meat eaters. High blood pressure is defined as one that consistently registers 140 over 90 or higher. Dr. Sachs and colleagues at Harvard Medical School have found a diet that lowers blood pressure about as much as does medication, in fact, maybe even more. Under this diet, The systolic blood pressure, which is the top number, dropped 11.5 points in men with high blood pressure and 7.1 points in men with normal blood pressure. Women had slightly lower reductions. To accomplish these blood pressure reductions, researchers took a meat-based diet and made it more plant-based, included 9 daily servings of fruits and vegetables, and enriched the diet with calcium using low-fat dairy products. Clearly, the more plant-based the diet, the lower the blood pressure. The lowest blood pressure is found when all animal products are removed. In fact, Dr. Rivas at the School of Medicine in France has demonstrated that in one study, systolic blood pressure decreased just 1.4 points when patients drank milk, but dropped 18.4 points when the patients drank soy milk. So see, we even want to just wipe out all dairy in our diets as well. Choosing foods from the Creator's original diet of fruit, whole grains, beans, vegetables, nuts, and seeds always gives the lowest blood pressure. To optimize your blood pressure, adopt these lifestyle habits. Eat 9 one-half cup servings of vegetables and fruits daily. Choose a plant-based diet. Take 500 milligrams to 1,000 milligrams of calcium citrate daily. Replace meat, poultry, fish, and cheese with beans, whole grains, unsalted nuts, and seeds. Choose packaged foods with a single ingredient. Example, rolled oats, brown rice, kidney beans, lentils, or whole wheat pasta. The general rule of thumb that I use is when I am in the grocery store and I look at a label, and we should all be avid label readers and ingredient readers. The fewer ingredients in that listing, the better. Avoid packaged foods with partially hydrogenated vegetable oil, enriched wheat flour, corn syrup, or salt. Just avoid those altogether. Walk briskly for a total of 60 minutes, 6 days a week. Drink at least 10 to 12 8-ounce glasses of water daily and get 15 minutes of exposure to the sun on your face, hands, or arms at least 3 days a week. Consider taking 1,000 to 2,000 units of vitamin D daily. Avoid coffee, tea, cola, soda, caffeine, and tobacco. Eat only fresh fruits or steamed above-the-ground vegetables at supper, or eat nothing at all after 3 p.m. Get 7 to 8 hours of sleep each night, 2.5 to 3 hours of which would be best before midnight. These are among the Creator's chosen methods to bring about optimal blood pressure. This reading comes from Dr. Arnold's 24 Realistic Ways to Improve Your Health by Tim Arnett, MD, on page 52 to 54. Thank you and have a blessed day.
Thank you, sis. Praise God for what a blessed reading. We're going to take that to heart, brothers and sisters, and keep our blood pressure lower. Amen. Just changing the lifestyle. Amen. Roll call. We have Sister Deborah all the way from the Netherlands. We've got representation from Michigan. We've got representation from Florida. We've got Brother Peyton there from North Carolina. And I'm not sure where Sister Charlene is from. But that's our roll call from Facebook. And on the call, we have Ohio. We have Ohio again. We have Alabama. We have Pennsylvania. We have Maryland. We have Delaware, and Delaware again. I like to say Delaware is well aware. Amen. We have Michigan, we have Oklahoma, we have Oklahoma again, and we have Georgia. Phone lines are open, press star 6. And I want to ask us to pray for a couple friends of ours that have gone to jail. Their trial is coming up soon. I want to remember them every day in prayer if we want to do a little fasting. They are a wonderful young family, accused of some things that they did not do. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we can even make some mistakes in how we view policing and things of this nature. But point being made is they were striving to live a godly life. And sometimes in this day and age, it's not easy to have children. Sometimes if you don't feed your children or vaccinate your children or do other things, you know, you can be accused of things that you're not guilty of. So really want to pray for this couple. Please pray with me for them. If I get permission from them to give their names, I will. But if not, just pray for this wonderful couple. We got a couple of names on the a couple of callers on the in the queue. We'll go ahead and take those calls at this time. First, we have Sister from Oklahoma. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank the Lord. Another day. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow, His mercies and grace. What is heaven? Okay, I have low blood pressure. I feel good, thank God. But mine is definitely, I used to have really good, I thought it was good, like, you know, 120 over 80, then it dropped to 118 and stuff like that. But now it stays like 90s over 60s and even 50s. Yeah.
And you're able to function? I mean, you feel good?
Mm-hmm.
Do you exercise?
I'm constantly moving, not where it's getting the heart rate up, but from the time I get up to the time I go to bed, and not on time enough, but I'm constantly moving. So, yeah, it stays low. And in fact, the other day I checked it, it went to 88 over 50 something.
Okay.
So I just asked about
how much water are you drinking?
Okay. Absolutely not enough.
Okay. I want you to take your weight divided by 2. That's the number of ounces you need. You might be dehydrated.
Okay.
You know, if you're doing okay, but I think God would want you to have it a little higher. Now, you know, the fact that it's not too high, I think that's a good thing. That means you're not probably suffering from any kind of occlusions of your blood vessels, that kind of thing. But I think if you just make sure you have a good, balanced diet, and you drink plenty of water. Just follow the live-free lifestyle, but really increase that water. So if you weigh 150, you should drink 75 ounces of water. And I want you to let, not you have to let everybody know, but if you wouldn't mind, let me know what that blood pressure is doing after that.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right, then, we're going to go to our dear brother, Ray. Good morning.
Morning, Pastor. Good morning, everyone. My point of reference is the lowering of blood pressure. I heard the good sister say avoid tea. My question is, does that include herbal tea? And if it does include herbal tea, I'd like to know why. I will listen for your response.
All right. Sister Donna, would you like to respond, or would you like me to respond?
Well, you know, I can give a little bit of input on it, but you're always welcome to add to it. good morning, my brother, and thank you for your question. What in dealing with teas, since teas do have an overall calming effect because it is, in fact, first of all, a warm beverage, that means it's going to automatically relax you. Okay, but the thing to watch out in teas, is the caffeine content. Now, most herbal teas are not, they don't have caffeine, but again, that's what you want to avoid, the caffeine teas. I And I drink teas. I would definitely go along with herbal teas, but then there are some herbs that also have an effect on raising the blood pressure. Now, I know the Pen of Inspiration tells us, you know, that we should not really drink teas. But again, and let me say this first of all, especially to the young lady who spoke about the low blood pressure. You cannot use a cookie-cutter approach to dealing with blood pressure. We are all individuals. That's the way God made us. We each are different. So what works for one may not work for another, okay? So, but definitely you want to avoid caffeine because it does raise your blood pressure. Now, like I said, if you can have, and you do your research on the herbs that you're drinking in the teas, because a lot of these teas don't really tell you what's in them. So I would begin by researching the actual herb in the tea. And then, you know, let the Holy Spirit guide you in your choices. Okay?
Yes, thank you.
All right, Pastor Fleming, please.
No, I don't have anything really to add to that. Just more, I would just give examples of it, but I agree 100% with what you said. So peppermint tea, chamomile tea, those herbs, you know, golden seal tea, which isn't going to, you're going to drink that mainly for medicinal purposes. But when you look at green tea, a lot of people drink green tea, and, you know, your black tea and that kind of thing, those things are going to generally have caffeine in them. So I agree 100% with what Sister Donna said. So we do have encouragement to drink those natural teas in the Pen of Inspiration, but not tea as we understand it that the world uses, because they're generally, you know, when you go to the restaurant, you get served coffee or tea. As a general rule, it's your caffeinated beverages. So, like, if you go to you can even buy teas in the, you know, you go to the service station, you know, you're traveling and, you know, they have the big refrigerators along the wall. You see all these tea beverages. All those are caffeinated teas, friends. And so, yeah, well said, sister. Praise God. All right. Well, thank you very much, everyone. We don't have anyone else in the queue, and we'll go ahead and turn it over to my wife, Undreamed Of, for our closing prayer. May God bless and keep you. Let's keep our young couple that is in jail in prayer that the Lord would deliver them, and keep praying for the school. We've got to figure out some things, and we're having some technical challenges as we try to figure out some of these issues. So please pray for us in that way. Sister, my wife will, my wife will close us out at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for giving us this opportunity to be able to have your spirit to teach us more truth. And we just pray, Lord, that we'll be able to study these things out individually as we continue to ask for more light to be given so we can gain wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We pray, Lord, for those that are in need of help. We pray that you will sustain the sister who is suffering with low blood pressure. Show her the things that she needs to do in her life, Lord. Give her wisdom in these areas. Show her what she can do and what may be hindering her pressure from being normalized. We ask that you will work with her in these efforts, guide her through your spirit. And we pray for our friends that are in jail. We ask, Lord, that you will work out everything in accordance with your perfect will for their release. We pray that wisdom and favoritism will be granted on their behalf through men, Lord. We pray that they won't be hindered there and jailed up any longer than they need to be. And we ask that you will release them. And we pray for everyone on the line asking for special healings to be granted for spiritual, mental, and physical. And we ask that as we work with you in these efforts of keeping your health low, that you will work with us, Lord, with our health, so that we can be good laborers in your field, helping to reap in the harvest. for time is short, and you are certainly sure to come. And we pray that we will be ready. All these things are asked and prayed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song is, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord till I die. I will walk.